Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What do you call a dragon with heartburn? Bad news for the nearest village.
No, wait, I hit the wrong thing.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in a tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease. Dr. Steve.
It's Weird Medicine from the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network Studios. The first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who gives me street cred with the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Whohead.
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very good. Well, good to see you, old buddy.
Glad to be here.
little more calm this week than it was last week. That's always good.
Yeah.
And we're recording this the day before Thanksgiving. Excellent.
Yep. Good stuff.
Cooking my ass off. So I guess the deal is now Liam and his girlfriend have been together so long that now we're doing joint Thanksgiving with her parents and her brothers and sisters and stuff. We love them, though. We went on vacation with them. I told my son's girlfriend's dad, because we're like best friends at this point, that we cannot allow our relationship to be held hostage by two 18-year-olds and the whims of whatever, ooh, I don't like him no more, or, you know, that kind of stuff. We can't have that. Because he's my ham radio buddy.
Oh, is he?
I've been looking for somebody like this for the last, I don't know, 20 years that I can hang out with. We can talk ham radio. But not only that, listen to this nerd-ass that we do. So we pack up. I've got in there, in the other room, I've got these cases, you know, those sort of go cases, military go cases. Mm-hmm. They're filled with sealed 25 milliamp hour batteries and these patch panels called Anderson Power Poles that I made.
Okay.
And we can go out to a park, and it's called activating a park through a group called Parks on the Air. And you go out there, and then you say, CQ POTA, CQ Parks on the Air, this is, you know, whatever your call sign is. Mm-hmm. And you will get 20 people calling you at once. It's really exciting. It's kind of like you're in a foreign land, because they'll get those. It's called a pileup. And it's fun in the sense, and then you write all their call signs and the date and the time and the report that you gave them. And then, I get it. This
so
is
a group of nerds is called a pile up.
Yes. And it doesn't sound, it's not what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not that. It's not that. I know this is just...
God damn, this is about as boring
okay.
With my wife.
I get it. Well, anyway, he's my buddy. And I'm hoping that unless my kid does something just egregious, because you know how it is, then you got to support your kid. If they just break up through attrition, then we'll still be friends. So right. I'm hoping we can keep that going. But I'd be fine if they got married. I'm telling you, I would be totally fine with it.
How funny.
Isn't that crazy?
It is bizarre.
Little Liam, who used to do the East Side Dave stuff, and that, I don't know, have I played this thing in a while?
It's been a while.
Where Liam did that promo for Ashley Madison. You remember Ashley Madison? They were that
company.
Is this
the one where they bleep out those cuss words?
Yeah, I bleeped out a bunch of cuss words.
Yeah, play that because it's hilarious.
Okay, let me see.
That is the best. Yeah, I've got a good question from Talk Like a Hick to you.
Okay, hang on.
We'll get to it.
I think I found it. So cool. Let's see here. let me see. This is so ridiculous.
I love this. This is great.
When my mom is a my daddy is at AshleyMadison.com. There he can lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Ashley Madison man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Ashley Madison, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
So, anyway, I'll give Liam one of those. So now that cute little kid... And I would say things like, just say when my mom's being a poop or something, and then I'd beep it out, and it sounds like he's saying something else.
Yep.
You know? So much fun. I don't want to over-explain it like a magic trick. Anyway.
Just leave it for what it is.
Yeah, that's right. So, that kid may be getting married, so it's crazy.
Well, not for a while.
Okay. I hope you're right. But who knows?
They're babies.
I know. I'm telling you, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, but I wouldn't mind it.
Yep.
I mean, I would prefer that they wait till they get through college. She's got to rush a sorority and all that stuff. And that might be the end of their relationship at that point. She starts making him go to those sorority parties and stuff because he's not into that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you all. I know everybody's on the, on the edge of their chair wondering what's going to happen with Liam's romance. Check out stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com. And I'm going to put this up on the thing right now with Dr. Scott. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. You got anything up there now?
Nope.
No. Okay. You still have it, though, right?
Still have it, yeah.
Okay, but you have things to sell, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing right. new, though.
And then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/weirdmedicine. It's right now, it is Tacy and me. And people were demanding the return of Tacy, but she can't do it on the time when Scott and I record this. So it's completely separate. All new content. Plus, I put up the funniest fucker in the Tri-Cities competition, the whole thing from beginning to end. And with Shuli Agar and a bunch of different people who did were judges. And we had 9 contestants. It was the best, I think, comedy event we did. And what you can't tell from that is, and I said this at the beginning, I said to the audience, you all gave me a freaking heart attack. Because...
Oh, that must be what fail is your phone.
That's what it was. Hang on. Hey, we were just talking about you. You're on Weird Medicine. Can you?
Oh, hey, can you put some money in my thing? I need cash.
Okay, I'll put money in there. As long as you say, Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
What's rotisserie?
Excellent. Thank you. Very good. All right, I'll put some in.
Okay. Right.
Jesus.
Hilarious.
Just wanted to hear the difference.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah, I said, you all gave me a heart attack. I think we sold 3 tickets, and then we had 220 show up. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was a venue that only allowed 180. So it was packed in there. It was great. It was a great event. Anyway, yep. So we've got that on there. But check that out, patreon.com/weirdmedicine. There's things you get if you hang around long enough, and we've got a real cheap tier structure. So anyway, all right.
Sounds good.
All right. Very good. Well, happy Thanksgiving, Dr. Scott, the one holiday that we haven't seemed to just completely F up. And now that they're not doing, well, they did kind of F it up with all this, we're going to open our doors at midnight crap.
Oh, yeah.
So that you can buy a TV for $79 and all the rest of them are, you know, regular price.
Yep.
Or whatever BS.
I don't get it.
And, but thanks to COVID, I hear that they're not doing that. So another good thing that we can thank COVID for.
That's right.
Because that was ruining Thanksgiving. You know, you do all this prep. I mean, I'm cooking all day today. I have to work tomorrow. I have to work on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And you do all this work cooking, and then it's, you know, everybody sits down and eats, and 5 minutes later, everybody's pushing away from the table because they've just eaten so much. And then you watch a movie or something. Then you got to get up and then go and stand in line at, you know, that place that rhymes with Schmest by. It rhymes with Best Buy.
Leshmai.
Yeah. And you end up going there and standing in line at midnight and then fighting the crowd and stuff.
Have you ever done that?
Hell no.
No, I've done it. I can't
that's
even
what,
imagine.
That's what you have Amazon for.
Exactly. I can't even imagine.
In my opinion. So anyway.
I cannot imagine. In there with all the insanity, I just can't imagine. But, you know, the thing I hate about the most is, like you described, that's kind of the best part about Thanksgiving is being able to hang out with your crew.
Yeah.
And just do nothing.
Well, if you're going to go out at midnight, you can't even drink.
No.
Except no. People do.
They do.
And then it makes it even worse.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're tired, drunk, and then... everybody's running for that one thing.
$179 TV, I know.
Anyway.
I'd rather give you $79 and keep the TV.
But just go on Amazon. Go to stuff.drsteve.com and do all your shopping there.
That's right.
All right. Very good. Well, listen, we didn't get to do a whole lot of show prep this week because of our jobs, but we have a ton of phone calls to get to, and we've got some people in the chat room might ask a question or two for people who are listening to this delayed. You can usually catch us around 3:30, 4 o'clock on Wednesdays. And if you just follow my Twitter, at Weird Medicine, I'll put out a notice. And then you can come in and check out the show ahead of time while we're doing it. And you get to hear all the times I have to stop and whiz or...
those old prostates.
Take a phone call or whatever.
Both of our prostates are getting
older. Well, I'll tell you, my prostate's still pretty damn good. I piss maybe twice a day.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a friend of mine who you know very well, mm-hmm. who literally pisses every 15 minutes. He's like, dude, I am never going on a road trip with you.
That's because he has the world's largest prostate.
He does. It is
clinically
unbelievably
proven.
Huge prostate.
That's not good.
Anyway. all right. Well, I had our buddy Stacy DeLoach, who I guess we can name him again. It's been long enough. He's been sending us some show prep stuff. And one of them was this thing. He sent me 10 weird but real medical conditions. So I thought we could run through a few of these, then we'll take some phone calls.
Cool.
This one is called the walking corpse syndrome. And what I'd like for you to do, Dr. Scott,
sure.
if you would, when I name these,
okay.
go online.
Gotcha.
And then see if you can find the ICD-10 code for these. All you do is you put in walking corpse syndrome space ICD-10 and see if it comes up with a code.
I got you.
Because there is one for ghost hand. I know that. I've seen that. I still don't know what ghost hand exactly
is. Gotcha.
But it says for people with this condition, entertainment like cable TV's Walking Dead may be too close for comfort. Very clever. Also known as Cotard syndrome. Okay, there you go. That one I bet you can find an ICD-10 for. It. C-O-T-A-R-D.
Yep, got it. Already got it.
It is a neuropsychiatric disorder in which a person believes they are dead or missing their soul, organs, blood, or certain body parts. Okay, I know what this is. I've actually seen this. Cotard's has been recognized a component of psychiatric illness such as depression, but neuroimaging has also linked some cases of Cotard's. Sounds like an epithet, like you're calling somebody a name. I'm not saying it. To neurological change. You Cotard!
Cotard you.
So, because the condition is so rare, it's been difficult to pinpoint the mechanism that causes it. Patients can also spontaneously experience complete recovery, even in severe cases. I believe that this is a manifestation of a thing called conversion syndrome. That would be my guess. But anyway, what did you find on Cotard syndrome?
That makes sense. Yeah, it's a F22.
Ooh, okay.
F22 is the diagnosis code.
Did it give any details about it?
A little bit. it pretty much exactly what you just said.
So this is a billable thing. And if I was going to put it in the chart, I think walking corpse syndrome sounds more fun than Cotard syndrome.
Me too.
And I'll do that in my charts. So if I have someone with intractable hiccups, mm-hmm. the medical name for hiccup is singultus. Mm-hmm. And so I'll put intractable singultus and just make people go, what the F is that? And then make them look it up.
Exactly.
It's fun.
Well, hey, so F22, it's also applicable to, and this kind of fits right in, delusional dysmorphophobia.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
It is a delusion.
Yeah, it is a delusion.
And it's a delusional dysmorphia. In other words, they're having this delusion that they've lost, that their heart has been removed from their body. And that's not true. So that means it's a delusion. Mm-hmm. And then dysmorphia just means, you know, something about that's wrong about the body.
I think my ex-wife had this. Said her heart had been removed.
She just never was born with one.
She wasn't even born with one. That's right. She was born without.
She had a lump of coal in her. She was something.
Woohoo!
I see why you married her, though. She's
dang
relatively attractive.
Came with a price.
Yep. And it always does, my friend. It always does. So, Cotard syndrome. So this one is foreign accent syndrome. Now, I've heard of this, have never seen it. No. This is a rare condition that causes people to develop a foreign accent. disorder is caused by damage to a part of the brain associated with speech. No kidding. Stroke is the most common cause. Trauma, tumors, and other neurologic conditions such as multiple sclerosis can cause patients to begin speaking with a different accent. And it says the accent usually isn't very good, and native speakers can recognize that it's not authentic. So it's not like people wake up and all of a sudden this Cockney accent that they have is because they've been inhabited by the ghost of a Cockney person. I'm sure that's what they thought back in medieval ages.
And what was the name of the disease?
This is called foreign accent syndrome.
Oh, my God. Hang on.
Now, we have a friend that when she gets wasted. Uh-oh. What was that? I don't know what that was. And when she gets wasted, our friend Julie calls her foreign language Wendy because she starts talking and it's impossible to understand anything that she says. But foreign accent syndrome. So you have a stroke and you wake up and it's like, hello, matey.
Hello, mate. That is hilarious. They were showing a thing with these kids. I guess there was a game that from Britain that I guess a lot of the younger kids are getting and are playing, and now they're picking up this weird British accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the little kids are, so they'd like to say,
because they're playing
Mike.
The game. That's funny.
That's the game, so that's hilarious.
Well, I've learned a lot from watching both Love Island, the UK version, and the British Great British Baking Show, which there they call the Great British Bake Off. Not sure why they call it something different. When they did the Great American Baking Show, it still had Paul Hollywood on it. Okay. But now instead of having Noel and Matthew, they've got Baby Spice and a football player whose first name is Spice, and I can't remember his name.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like just American audiences are eating, no pun intended, eating up Great British Baking Show. We can tolerate Noel and Matthew. You don't have to put unfunny people in there.
Right.
And they made the recipes a lot easier for these people. And they called, instead of calling biscuits, they call them cookies. And I know Paul Hollywood is, choking every time he calls what they would call a biscuit, a cookie. But anyway, I can't remember why I was bringing that up. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I do remember. I've kind of learned what an Essex accent is and a Manchester accent and all these different regional accents in the UK. It's very interesting.
Okay, cool.
So anyway, Liverpool. All right. The Jumping Frenchman of Maine. This condition is named after a group of French-Canadian lumberjacks who worked in the northern Maine in the 1870, also known as hyperecplexia. That doesn't seem right. Hyperecplexia. Look that up. Hyperecplexia.
Okay.
It involves an extreme reaction to stimuli that causes uncontrollable jumps and startle-induced falls. This is like the falling goats and jumping goats and stuff. Mm-hmm. The syndrome can often be effectively treated with benzodiazepines. That's Valium, Xanax, or other words, diazepam, Alprazolam, Lorazepam, which is Ativan. A drug class used to treat anxiety and seizures by slowing down the nervous system. Well, that's a pretty simplistic explanation of how they work, but yeah, okay. That's interesting. Or maybe these people are just anxious as F because they're lumberjacks working in northern Maine in the 1870s. But I don't know. Hmm. Did you find anything on that one?
Yeah, I'm looking at the hyperexplexia.
Hyperecplexia. I've never seen a K in front of a P like that in medicine.
No, I haven't either.
Hyperecplexia.
Yep, it shows up.
Does it? Okay, yep. Yeah. No, it sure does.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it either.
Yeah, okay. Rare hereditary neurologic disorder may affect infants as newborns prior to birth in utero, so they're just kicking the shit out of their mom in utero. Hmm. May also affect children and adults. Individuals with this disorder have an excessive startle reaction. Okay, my wife has this.
Oh, yeah.
She knows I'm in the house, and I'll walk up behind her, and she'll startle and go, oh, you scared me. It's like, who did you think it was? So anyway.
Interesting.
I'd like to know the etiology or entomology or no entomology is bug, right? The origin of that EK term and that word. But that's me. That's we'll go on. How about Dr. Strangelove syndrome?
Ooh.
You remember Dr. Strangelove? He couldn't control his hand.
That sounds like Dr. Steve syndrome.
No, that was from the classic 1964 film. It's called alien hand syndrome. From time to time, when the hand is engaged, the affected hand may hop in and try to interfere with that hand or do something counter to it. Now, I'm going to guess before I read any further, this has to do with a separation of the right brain from the left so that the right brain or the left brain is controlling the other hand and it's not speaking to the other brain, so it doesn't know what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it says this is usually the result of a tumor, stroke, or surgery that affects. Aha, mm-hmm. I'm going to give myself one of these.
Alpha Bill.
The corpus callosum.
Corpus callosum
is the brain. That's right. It is the tissue. Well, it's the nerve bundle that connects the right and left brains. That's the only way they communicate. They're completely separate, except at the bottom and through the corpus callosum. So they communicate that way. And when you separate someone's corpus callosum, if you all want to read something interesting, read about people who have had their corpus callosum removed. And they can do some experiments with them because the right side of the brain is mute. The left side of the brain speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So the right side of the brain cannot speak at all. It can draw and it can see things better than the left side.
Can I stop you for 2 seconds?
Yes,
before you get much further?
Yeah.
And what they can look it up is an epileptic. People who have terrible epilepsy. Sometimes they'll actually cut
they'll cut it. They'll sever it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they do that, the right and left brains can't speak anymore to each other anymore. And what they can do is they can isolate what side of the brain is seeing certain stimuli, and they'll show them a picture of a horse, and they can't name it.
Right.
But then when they show them with the other side of the brain, or with both of the eyes open, they can pick out what they saw, and then they can name it, which is really interesting.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So, yeah, the right side is if you want to do a neat experiment with the right side of your brain— do this. This is a fun picture. Take a picture of a human being, just a headshot. And particularly if you're not an artist, go ahead and try to draw that the best you can. And get a group of people to do this. This is really a fun kind of party trick. And you take your time, take as much time as you want. Now, get another piece of paper, flip that picture over so you can't see it anymore, the one that you drew. And now take the portrait of the picture that you're drawing, the headshot, and flip it upside down. Now draw it again. And then when you're done, what you're going to do is flip over the other picture and compare it to the one that you just drew with the headshot turned upside down. And it's unbelievable. It's orders of magnitude better.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Crazy.
It's a really, nobody does things like this anymore at a party, but it would would be a fun party thing if you've got a group of nerds that want to try something like this.
Right.
And it's stunning. I took a class called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, and that was the first exercise, and we had to draw a baby's head. And what happens is when it's right side up, the left side of the brain starts going, oh, I know, that's a nose. Well, here's how you draw a nose. It's a circle with two holes or whatever, whatever your icon is for a nose. Whereas when you flip it upside down, the left brain disengages because it can't make sense of it, and the right brain will draw the shapes. And any good artist will tell you that the proper way to draw something like that is not to interpret it, but to draw the shapes. And you have to be able to see those shapes and be able to draw them properly. The right side of the brain can do that perfectly.
Wow.
So I got to the point in this class where I had to draw a picture of my hand. And it's if I can find it here, I'll show it to you. It's photorealistic.
Wow.
But it was such a pain in the ass. I was like, cool, okay, I did that. I'm never doing it again.
Right.
I didn't want to become an artist, but it was a really neat thing to see how the different sides of the brain work.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we're done, if I can find it, I'll post it online.
That'd be cool.
All right. And let's do, we'll do one or two more of these, and then we'll get out of here.
Totally cool.
Alice in Wonderland Syndrome. In Lewis Carroll's 1865 fantasy novel, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, the main character experiences magical transformations such as shrinking and expanding. This neurologic syndrome, also called Todd's syndrome, Todd's syndrome, usually prevents, I always thought the Todd's syndrome, never mind. I was going to make a joke about all the penis tattoos on his arm, but nobody remembers that anymore. Usually represents migraines that distort the perception of size and distance. Episodes which can last up to an hour involve seeing objects or people as very big, very small, or further away than they actually are. Jesus. People can also experience hallucinations, as well as an inaccurate sense of time passing either very slowly or very quickly. Typically affects young children and can occur, at the onset of sleep. Wow. Okay, so what is it called when it's the onset of sleep, Dr. Scott? When you have a sleep disorder during...
I know. You can tell them. I know the answer.
I'm waiting. You got it?
Hypnagogic.
Oh, very
good. Give yourself a meal.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes, hypnagogic is when you're initiating sleep. Hypnopompic is when you're coming out of sleep.
Gotcha, thank you.
So hypnagogic things are weird shit like this, or you feel like you're getting kicked in the face with a soccer ball. We talked about this once before. So I played, you know, UK football, a.k.a. soccer, and you played baseball.
Yep.
So when I have a hypnopompic effect or a hypnagogic episode, it's usually a startle episode as I'm falling asleep. I'll either feel like I've just fallen down a flight of stairs, or it'll be someone kicking a soccer ball in my face. Yep. And I wonder when it happens to you if you perceive it as someone throwing a baseball in your face.
Yeah, actually, it's always the exact same thing. I'm batting and the ball's coming at my head and I flinch.
Yeah, and that way. Yep. So it is. It's related to our experiences.
Yep. Experiential.
I'd like to do a damn study on that.
Yeah, because I've never had a soccer ball come at me or a football or basketball.
I've never had a football.
You know, nothing like that. It's always a baseball. Always a baseball.
People who are listening to this, if you want to call in, we'll just do an informal poll. Mm-hmm. And if you found that what we just said resonates with you, let us know, because I'd really be interested in doing a very informal study on that. Because that's interesting, isn't it? The episodes are universal. Everybody has these.
Yep.
But they're customized based on our previous experience. Kind of neat.
Kind of cool.
Yeah,
it is cool.
All right. And then the last one we'll do for today is geographic tongue. And I know that there's a ICD-10 on this because I've diagnosed this multiple times. It's an oddly named syndrome, involves psoriasis-like symptoms of the mouth, in which harmless but potentially painful lesions develop on the tongue. Red and white patches are often surrounded by a slightly elevated border, resembling irregularly shaped geographic masses on a map. That's why it's called that. So we use geographic in medicine to describe anything that is kind of map-like or irregular in its borders. So if you have a geographic border to a mole, that's a sign to get it checked out. Mm-hmm. Nice, smooth, you know, spherical mole. Those are very rarely, if ever, malignant. But if it's geographic, you know, irregularly bordered and then, you know, irregularly colored, then that's something that you want to get checked.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, but geographic tongue to us is totally different because we'll look at those where the those things are on the tongue and, mm-hmm. and kind of help us get an idea where there may be something wrong in the body.
Yeah.
So in other words, if it's...
So you guys are looking at the papillae.
Right.
Of the tongue.
And we look at the coating of the tongue. Mm-hmm. So if it's splotchy, that tells us one thing. If it's really thick, that's another. You know, then someone's got a lot of, you know, phlegm or cough or congestion or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's how we treat a lot of disorders by using a geographic tongue to help us figure out where to look.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's actually, yeah, it's in a good...
Well, and this one can be stress allergies, hormones...
Yes, check.
Nutritional deficiencies.
I can explain all those. Yeah. Think about hormones, Dr. Steve. We'll see people with what we call a yin deficiency. The tongue will actually be really red with no coating, kind of thin.
A yin deficiency, as in yin and yang.
Is in yin and yang. And what you'll do is it's hot flashes in a lot of females.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show it.
What's the yin that they're deficient in? What is that?
That's the air conditioning side of your body. It's just hormones.
Huh.
Just hormones.
Interesting.
Hormone deficiency.
Sounds like horse hockey.
Say it.
It's okay.
Say it.
It's all right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Now, we have several other of these to do, but we'll do, let's save them for next time.
Sure.
You want to take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
All right.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Do you have anybody in the chat room that has a question that they would like answered?
Well, we've got Sean, mm-hmm. who I guess had an ex-wife like I've got.
What's that? Oh, really?
a couple of people talk about some strange accents that are kind of fascinating and... no questions I see.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do, is when I get, because I did a promo for a show called The Karloff, which is on the Cardiff Electric Podcast Network, and I did sort of that typical Eastern European fake accent, scary kids, that one. And I don't know if the reverb comes through on the OBS side, but let me see.
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, scary kids, which is really, that's Paul Flaherty, or Joe Flaherty, Joe or Paul from SCTV when he used to do Count Floyd, I think it was. But anyway.
How funny.
And so he did that. But, everybody can do that accent, but I don't think it's a real accent.
No.
It doesn't really sound like Bela Lugosi. Anyway.
Hey, talk like a hick to you. She says there's an ICD-9 cofer sucked into a jet engine.
Okay, so look that up and see if she's lying.
I will.
And we're using ICD-10 now, so keep up.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Well, that's true. And she might have said 10. Hell, I don't know. I don't know.
It's fine. All right. Let's see what we got here. Oops. Uh-oh.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I've got two questions. The first one is, I miss GVAC. Has the medical community figured out how to cure death yet?
No, and we've done this one. We miss GVAC, too. And no, we haven't even... We're still working on defining death. We don't know what the brain is. So right now, the definition of death is cessation of brain activity. Mm-hmm. When you cut somebody's head off on the guillotine, what my understanding was is people would go run up and look at them, and they'd have their eyes would be wide open, and they'd be trying to mouth words and stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Holy shit, no. I just can't even.
So you stick your head in there,
oh my God.
And you know it's coming, and then you hear it, and then the next thing you know, the world kind of turns sideways, and you're going, blah, 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 you know, trying to...
Or you're, it's like you're rolling downhill, but you're not really rolling downhill,
because right.
It's just your head.
Yeah, rolling. It's just your stupid head, with this dumb look on your face of surprise.
It's like, what just...
Why are you surprised?
You know what's got to be the worst? It's got to be that fucking noise. You know what I mean? The clink, because you know they've just cut the or turned that chain loose.
Yeah.
It's like, clink, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be the longest quarter of a second in history.
This is going to hurt.
Ugh. And then if the stupid executioner hadn't, you know, the thing would have to be perfectly perpendicular to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Or it would get hung up or it would slow it down.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that? They had to set the damn thing upright.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had lots of practice.
And grease it.
let's see. Let's check out the thickness of this dude's neck. How high are we going to raise that?
That's awful.
Hey, I do have a question. If you want to answer one.
Yeah.
How about from the game junkie? Do vaccines stick in your blood? Dealing with polycythemia vera.
Okay. No, not really. So, they won't.
Yeah.
There's vaccines and then there's vaccines. So there's live attenuated vaccines.
Right.
And those actually cause a mild infection. And a chickenpox vaccine is one of those. It's a live virus.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some others. And when you do a live virus like that, the effects of it will stay in your bloodstream in the sense that you will make antibodies against that virus. And some of those will be detectable down the road. You can detect whether someone has had chickenpox before because those viruses are still alive somewhere in their neurologic system. I'm presuming that's why. Still generating a very mild inflammatory response. Or they're just very long-lived. You know, COVID, the antibodies don't last that long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of its evolutionary life cycle is it lucked out at some point and infected a population of humans and then was able to infect them again, you know, down the road. That's why you get multiple colds in your life. There aren't that many cold viruses running around, but you just don't get immune to them in a way that prevents you from getting infected. Coronaviruses are like that.
Yeah.
So if he's talking about mRNA vaccines, they're in your bloodstream very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
mRNA, remember, is a string of ribonucleic acid. So these are little, you know, nucleotides strung together, and they're instructions to the cells on how to make the spike protein, mm-hmm. in this case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when those go in the cells, they'll inculcate themselves into the cells, and then the cells' ribosomes, which are the factories that make proteins, will then take in that mRNA, make the protein. The protein will make its way to the surface, and then that mRNA may get transcribed one or two more times, if that, and then it gets broken up and then used to make other mRNA instructions for other proteins.
Okay.
So those vaccines are gone really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it mimics an infection, which is why it's such a good vaccine, because that spike protein ends up on the surface of the cell and the white blood cells go, oh, hell, you know, you're not supposed to be there. This is an actual infection.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a little bit more robust immunity from that.
Right on.
But anyway, and then if you look at flu vaccine, that's just proteins from the influenza, and they don't last very long at all. It lasts long enough. It stays in your arm long enough to generate inflammation, which the body then recognizes as foreign antigens, and that's what generates the inflammation. And then the immune system forms complexes against it, and those circulate in your bloodstream long enough, hopefully, to keep you from dying from influenza if you get it.
Gotcha.
All right?
Gotcha.
That's an excellent question.
That's a very good question.
And, we don't have the technology to inject nanomachines into people yet. I would be all in favor of that in the future. What I'm hoping is, in the future, we will have these nanomachines that we will be able to inject, and they will go into our brain and teach us how to speak Italian.
Cool.
How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to Italy next week. I need to get my Italian shot.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
And it just rewire your brain. Maybe it only lasts for, you know, two months or something.
Yeah, 6 months or something.
Then you lose it.
Cool.
It'd be cool.
That would be super cool.
I don't know where that stuff resides in the brain. Today, last night, this is the craziest effing thing. I got in my head this song, and it's called Vieni sul mar.
Okay.
And what that is it means come to the sea in Italian. And it was a Three Stooges bit where this guy was singing this song, and they kept flicking cherries into his mouth.
Hmm.
And I was obsessed with finding it because it had came into the forefront of my consciousness fully formed. I remembered even the shades of black and white, sure. What stupid Curly was wearing, you know, this sort of opera diva outfit and the whole thing. And where the hell was that?
I actually remember that, yeah.
Where the hell was that in my brain?
I don't know.
It's in your brain, too, because you remember it.
I remember it very well, yeah. Yeah, because the way he was dressed up, it was hilarious. What
the hell?
Yeah, like a girl. Big fancy.
So, that to me blows my mind. Now, if we're going to upload our consciousness to computers, it's going to have stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm assuming we won't have pain, we won't have emotions like we do because, you know, the hormonally driven emotions.
One could only hope.
I'm hoping that you would wake up and you would be a perfect consciousness.
Right.
Just having your experiences but without any emotional overlay over it. But it won't work right if you can't dredge up shit like that at random from time to time, because that's part of our consciousness, too.
Right. Part of the balance.
I saw that effing cartoon when I was like six.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in there ever since. That's bizarre, crazy.
Yeah. That's cool.
Blows my mind.
That's cool.
Okie doke. Let me see. Steroids, what are they? God, I did a bad job of cleaning out our things. Let's do this one, though.
It's your friendly respiratory therapist from Boston again.
Hello.
I'm just listening to your show on my way to work, like I usually do on Sundays.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to hear that you had COVID, but anyway.
Me too. It sucked.
This is the beginning of Respiratory Care Week. Okay. You know, nurses get recognized, Nurses Week, all that good stuff. Well, it's Respiratory Care Week.
Okay.
So if you know any respiratory therapists, wish them a happy Respiratory Care Week. Started by actually President Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Have a great day. I'm listening to the Halloween stories now. Thanks for all you do. Bye-bye.
Cool.
So, yes. So, respiratory therapists get screwed, and they got screwed on this one, too, because I think Respiratory Care Week was like 6 weeks ago. Just looking, when was it?
Well, thank you guys for all you do.
Sorry, October 24th. So we're recording this when November 24th, so we're exactly a month late.
It's perfect.
So there you
go.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Right on time for us.
She's not wrong. They get screwed, and let me tell you something. While we're on the subject of respiratory therapists, they were truly at the front line of so much of this pandemic, because when patients are really at risk for spraying the room with viral particles is when they're undergoing respiratory treatments, nebulizers, BiPAP, CPAP, when they're intubating them, you know, when you're putting the tube down somebody's throat to put them on life support, or when you're taking that off and putting something else on, and then you know when you take it off, it's like, mm-hmm. and that's just shooting viral particles everywhere. So yeah. Mad respect to respiratory therapists. I didn't know any that said, I'm not going in that room. They all did it, and you know, good for you. Thank you.
Good.
All right, we'll give him one of those. All right. So sorry I was so late. Terrible. I'm the worst. All right. We did the out-of-body experience, right? Didn't we do that one?
Yep.
We did. Okay. So let's do... Oh, let's go back. This goes way back. This used to be a real common question pre-COVID, and it's good that we're getting back to some normal things. Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's your old pal, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, buddy. I got a problem I'm running into here. I have had low T for about 15 years, and I've been on medication, weekly shots.
Okay.
my levels are within the normal range, and my symptoms of low T have gone away.
Okay, good.
I've unfortunately moved and had to find a new doctor, and my new doctor, for some reason, thinks that my dose is too high.
Why?
Even though I'm within proper range, and my symptoms have gone away. And I'm curious, what is the normal range of a dose of testosterone? I mean, obviously, it depends on how much you need, based on how much you don't have it or aren't making it. But is there a level that you see, or a doctor sees, or another doctor sees, whatever, and red flags go off and say, hey, this is too high of a dose, even though it's within the range of normal of your testosterone levels?
Like opioids, there's no real ceiling dose to testosterone. You give the patient enough to get their dose to achieve the effect you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So many of my colleagues will just look at numbers. So if the range is, let's say it's 300 to 900, and you're 301, they will look at that and go, well, you're in the normal range. I can't treat you.
Yeah, it's insane.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's what ridiculous.
It is, you know, it's...
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
You know, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it's been a long time since we've gone through this. The way they determine the normals is you take 1,000 people, just some random number of people, and you test them for testosterone. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you can get a mean at number, mm-hmm. and then you can calculate the standard deviation. So you go 2 standard deviations from the mean. That's your normal range. The problem with that is, when you do that, is that most people who have low testosterone are not ever diagnosed, and they're never treated. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're getting a bunch of people who have low testosterone. It's physiologically low, but they're being included in that sample, and they're skewing the normal low so that the low normal range is actually should be considered low, particularly if they are symptomatic.
They're symptomatic, right.
So that's the key. Hmm. So there have been studies that have shown that if you have quote-unquote low normal testosterone and you have the symptoms of low testosterone, which are...
insomnia, fatigue, not being able to gain muscle mass, low sex drive, unable to have good, meaty erections.
There you go.
All of the above.
Give yourself a bill!
Those are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Physical weakness, fatigue, low libido. I don't have to repeat it. You said them all right.
Yeah.
So, yes. So if you have those, studies have shown that if you treat those low normal testosterones, those people will achieve benefit in what we call health-related quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what we're doing with low testosterone,
right.
is we're trying to make people feel better when we give them hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
So you give how much you need, and that's pretty effing stupid. Now, I will say that just because Dr. X prescribed something is not a reason for Dr. Y to do it. Right. So if they're not comfortable with it, go to a urologist. They'll be fine. Yeah. They'll be fine with it.
Yep.
Unless they're, an idiot.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Unless they have Cotard syndrome, too.
Hey, I've got one from Honor, if you need another question.
This is a
good time
medical
for it.
Question show,
good
my friend. So, yes.
Here we go. Is it possible to reverse and cure non-alcoholic fatty liver disease with lifestyle changes?
Yes.
Or is stopping in advance all you can do? So the answer would be yes.
Yeah, yeah. You want to talk about it for a minute?
Yeah, sure. So
we'll talk about what NASH is first.
I'm sorry, talking about what?
NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was having trouble hearing.
Are you okay now?
Yeah, Mike. I think
no, your mic's fine. It's your headphones.
No, it's my headphones, yeah. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. So the NASH, it's going to be, we see it a lot, and people are certainly overweight, and it's associated with a lot of comorbidities, possibly diabetes, certainly
That would be that metabolic syndrome.
Metabolic syndrome. Yeah.
And hypertension.
Hypertension.
Obesity and all that stuff. But go ahead.
All the above. But it's been shown to actually be able to be greatly improved and reversed with diets low in fatty foods, fried foods, high in vegetables, you know, kind of the Mediterranean diet, and certainly increasing exercises and lowering body fat.
Yep. Yeah. So. And it doesn't sound like a treatment. But it is.
But it is.
It actually is the treatment.
Yeah, there's no great pills or interventions for this, as far as surgical interventions or anything. You know, it's just if you can do it through diet and exercise, that's a perfect way to control it.
Yeah. So these people will get cirrhosis just like alcoholics.
Right.
And
maybe never touched alcohol in their life.
Never touched it in their life.
Yeah.
And it tends to, I've seen it run in families. And also, I'm just going to throw this out there for the people out there that are diagnosticians. We have a few listening. Mm. In our area particularly, but I'm sure this is true other places, that there is a genetic disorder called alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. Mm. And those people, when you get two of those genes, you have bad lungs, bad liver. There's all kinds of bad things that can happen to you. We have a treatment for it now where you actually give people the component that they're missing, which is called alpha-1 antitrypsin.
Mm.
But if you only have one of the genes, some of those people will manifest as fatty liver and non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So one of the things you want to do is if you have that, get yourself checked for that
mm-hmm.
just to see, because it won't affect how you treat this so much, mm-hmm. but it's really good to know if you're passing that gene down to the next generation.
Right. And is it a blood test, Dr. Steve?
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, just
pretty,
a blood
pretty
test.
Pretty simple blood test.
Yep. So I agree with everything that Scott said. Healthy diet, fruits, vegetables, low carb. I you know, the National Association for Liver, whatever the hell, American Liver Foundation, they say, you know, a diet high in whole grains. I disagree. I think a lower carbohydrate
Agreed.
Diet, but certainly
Agreed.
A low glycemic index diet,
right.
which would be brown bread, brown pasta, you know, yellow potatoes, mm-hmm. no white bread, no white pasta, no white potatoes kind of thing. But if you can cut out some carbs at the same time and increase your intake of green leafy vegetables and lean animal protein, it sounds like we say this for everything, mm-hmm. but it is a treatment for NASH, and it's a very effective one.
Yep.
So can be. And you got to catch it early. If you've already gotten into cirrhosis, it's a problem. But mm-hmm. the liver can regenerate itself if you can stop insulting it.
Yep.
Stop saying, you're fatty liver.
You're bad anyway. Fatty liver.
Now, there are some medications that you can take for this, particularly if you have high triglycerides, and there are things that they can, your primary care provider can talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. Steato just means something related to fat. Hepatitis, hepato is liver. Itis is inflammation. So it's fatty liver inflammation.
Gotcha.
You break these words down, they start making sense. You want to avoid drinking alcohol, you know. And sure. Tylenol, that's going to be a problem, too. Tylenol is metabolized in the liver. Why stress your liver out anymore? So,
but
talk to your healthcare provider about that. We shouldn't be, you know, giving specific information about it. But anyway.
Sure.
All right. Excellent question.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Steve. This is Phil in Tampa. I'm calling about an incident that happened to me a few months ago.
Okay. Hey, Phil.
And this is a little long. I'll try to keep it concise.
That's fine.
I was hospitalized back in April, and they diagnosed me with a AFib in my heart, and I also had what they called a small TIA, which is a small stroke, I guess.
Yep.
And when I was in the hospital,
TIA is a transient ischemic attack, and it manifests like a stroke, but it goes away. Okay.
All right. They had no idea what caused it. They were really grasping at straws, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. They just
yeah.
I had a CAT scan, an MRI, several EKGs, what else? The thing where they put the stuff on your head to check your brain.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of tests,
EEG.
Everything came back negative.
That's a brainwave study.
after that, I met with my primary care doctor, I met with a cardiologist, and I met with a neurologist. And originally, the only thing that they thought could have caused this to happen was I had a lot of caffeine. Now, granted, I drink Diet Coke a lot, and I was drinking an energy drink, but I wasn't, like, you know, chugging them every day.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that maybe the caffeine just kind of overloaded the heart, which led to the TIA.
The symptoms I had were
nausea, vomiting, dizziness. I wasn't speaking correctly, and they just think that the caffeine did it. But later on, after a lot of blood work, my neurologist discovered that something called homocysteine, my level was elevated pretty high, which was caused by I had low B12 and low folic acid.
So I know the answer. That's not it, though.
The homocysteine level, which somehow led to this event to happen.
I'm going to bet if he gets a certain test, I'm going to recommend that I'm going to be right.
Okay.
So I think I know exactly what this is. I can tie this all together.
Two questions are.
Yeah.
One, I'm sorry, based on this very limited information, does that sound like that could be the case?
Mm.
And two, what exactly is homocysteine? I don't really know what that is or how it affects the body. Obviously, if it's too high, it can do some damage. But that was all. So thank you so much, and love the show as always, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Well, thanks for giving us an opportunity to sound smart. So I think what he has is a genetic defect, and you can do 23andMe and then go into your data. They've got this data thing that you can then go through all of your different chromosomes and kind of plow through those. I think he has MTHFR gene abnormality, and I know it sounds like motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. And if he has a mutation of that, what will it do? It will cause a difficulty absorbing folic acid and B12. So you have to take special B12. These things are called, they're called methylated, versions of B12 and folic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start taking that, a lot of this stuff will go away. Your homocysteine level comes back down. If you start getting neuropathy, which is where mine came from, it'll also get better. So my best friend from residency, Rebecca Cherish, was the one who turned me on to this. And I thought that was really very interesting. So, homocystinemia increase your risk for heart attack and stroke and that kind of stuff. And this is from Medscape because I don't want to get this wrong. Elevation of the homocysteine level in blood has been referred to as homocysteinemia. So anytime you hear something emia, that means that something's elevated in the blood. And so increased homocysteine levels associated with higher risk of strokes and increased carotid plaque thickness. That's thickness of the arteries going into the neck has been associated with high homocysteine and low B12 levels. So get tested for that MTHFR gene. And if I'm right, I'll send you a Weird Medicine cup as a prize for me being right, I guess. But that would account for a lot of this.
Yeah, I think it's almost all of them, actually.
I found out I had it through 23andMe.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? Because I had all the symptoms, and my homocysteine levels were elevated, and I went plowing through my 23andMe, whatever that database is that you have on yourself, and there it was. I was heterozygous for it, which means I'm a carrier for it, so I didn't have the full-blown syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So, all it did was just give me these bad nerves
That's part of why you had the bad nerves, my friend.
Yeah, well, you think it's the statins, I know. And you may be right. But I can't stop taking those because I have high high homocysteine levels. So,
did you see a new report? And I'll seriously, real quick, they were saying that, and I'll find the report. Statins once a week, equally as effective as once a day. I will look it up for you.
So, dude, you found the study that you were talking about, though?
Yes, sir.
Okay, before we go, we'll do that.
Yeah, right here on PubMed. It's just the efficacy of rosuvastatin in patients that could not tolerate the statins previously.
Okay, rosuvastatin being Crestor.
Yeah.
So that's the brand name. It is a statin drug. Mm-hmm. It inhibits HMG-CoA's reductase. And HMG-CoA reductase tends to operate and make cholesterol when you're not eating. So that's why they tell you to take it at bedtime, and then it does all of its work at night when you're asleep.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yep. Well, the conclusion is that once a week, they did this specifically for folks that needed to lower the LDL.
Yeah.
But couldn't tolerate the statins. Just once a week of this particular medication was effective and well-tolerated, lowering the LDL, getting people down towards goal.
Yeah.
For folks that had such terrible myalgias or muscle pains that they couldn't tolerate. Yeah, they couldn't tolerate.
I take it anyway.
Yeah. I would say, but if you can get the, if not identical, but almost identical result in your numbers, taking it once a week versus daily.
But, my concern about this is, it's not just about the numbers. There's a drug called Zetia, mm-hmm. and if you take it, you can lower your LDL.
Right.
You don't lower your risk of heart attack and stroke, at least not to the extent that you do with a statin.
Okay.
Statins also have something else that they're doing, if it's anti-inflammatory action mm-hmm. or something that actually produces a decrease in heart attack and stroke. So I would want to see an outcome study that says, we prevented just as many heart attacks and strokes.
Okay.
Now, the truth of the matter is, to prevent one heart attack, you still have to treat like 39 people at some number like that.
Yeah.
It's called the number needed to treat. It's not like if you take these, you're magically not going to have a heart attack.
Right.
And if you don't take them, you're magically going to have a heart attack.
Right.
So it's all about risk mitigation, and it decreases the incidence. But we've discussed number needed to treat, and I don't have those numbers in front of me because it took me a little bit by surprise on this topic. But we can discuss it sometime in the future if people want to know the actual number. But let's just say you have 1,000 people in one group and 1,000 people in another group, and you give a drug to one of those groups, 1,000 people, and the other group you give them a placebo. And in the drug group, the ones that you gave the active drug to, you see 7 heart attacks. In the placebo group, you see 10 heart attacks. Now, that's out of 1,000 people.
Yep.
So, but you could say we had a 30% decrease in heart attack and, heart attack in this group.
Yep.
So that's the relative improvement. Doesn't always tell the answer. So what we want to do is we want to know the absolute improvement. And then we calculate the number needed to treat. So in this case, the absolute improvement would be 3 divided by 1,000. Do you have a calculator in front of you?
Mm-mm. No, but I can make one.
Okay.
Here we go. Hang on 1 second.
Okay, I got one. I got one. I beat you.
Okay.
So 3 divided by, I know what 3 divided by 1,000 is. It's going to be 333.
3.
Okay.
Lots of threes.
I'm sorry, 0.003. And then you take the inverse of that. So 1 divided by 0.003. Ah, shit, you son of a bitch. It's going to be 333. 1 divided by 0.003. God dang it. Is 333. So in this particular case, okay, well, we'll just. Liam, you're on Weird Medicine. You there?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on Weird Medicine.
Did you do it?
No, I'm doing a show, but we're almost done, and I promise I'll do it as soon as we get off.
I'm sitting at the gas station.
Okay, you know what? It's fine. We're going to stop the show.
Oh, wait, no, don't.
For God's sake.
No, too late. I'm sitting here, and I can't.
Poor thing.
I'm
going to
get you some right now. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I have zero.
Yeah, I get
it. Zero bleeding.
I get it.
No, don't stop. I feel bad now.
You should feel awful.
I'm just messing with you. No, I can edit this out or I can leave it in, just depending on, how I feel about you at the time.
I feel like a giant penis.
You feel like what? Wait, say that again.
A giant penis right now.
A giant penis?
Yes.
Well, we're not talking about your genitalia, bro. Not on this show.
We're
not
positive thinking.
We're not that kind of a show. So let's see. Funds transfer. How much should we transfer to old Liam's account?
Gas prices today, you better go.
I only need not much.
Okay.
Like, I just need to get a tank so I can get home and go to Speedway and Lights.
Right. Oh, you're going to Speedway and Lights? Okay.
And who calls when they need money? Well, have a little forward thinking.
I need $1 million.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go.
All right. Hang on. We got to see if it goes through, Jesus. This is riveting. This will be deleted from the show.
No, I think you should leave it in.
You think so? Okay. All right. Well, if I could make it in any way funny or entertaining, I would. But okay, that you should have some money in there now.
Okay.
Okay. All right, buddy. Okay, I'll see you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's hilarious.
Maniac.
Nothing like thinking ahead.
No. Well, anyway.
Hey, you and I were that age once. It's been a long time, though. You know?
It has been a long time. It's been almost 50 years for me.
God,
I remember it acutely, so it's totally fine. Now, you know, the one thing I'll give him is that when I was his age, I had already wrecked every single one of my dad's cars.
No shit.
He had a regular Jeep. He had a Willys, 1955 Willys Jeep, and then he had a nice car, and I wrecked all three of them.
Oh, God.
By the time, you know, he was this old. So I'll give him that. And he's never, knock on wood, we're good so far. Yep. So
Keep it up, kid.
And he gets straight A's in college, so if he needs 25, 50 bucks every once in a while, you know, what else is dad here for? He ain't gonna listen to anything else I do.
Nope.
All right, so in our case that we had, we would need to treat 333 people to prevent one heart attack.
Okay,
so that is the number needed to treat, and that's the best way that I can imagine to explain how that works. So the number for statins is less than that, but it depends on whether you're treating to prevent the first heart attack or the second one.
Mm.
And the numbers are different. And the drug companies will not tell you this stuff. They'll tell you the relative improvement. They'll say, you know, we have a 40% reduction in heart attack and stroke. They won't give you this number.
Right.
But it has to, by law, the data has to be in their package insert. And if you get that little package insert, that's that little white piece of paper that you can unfold, and it's got all that information on it, a long strip of paper, it'll be in there, and you can calculate it your damn self.
Right on.
So maybe if you'll remind me, let's next time, maybe it'll be interesting to people, we'll do that. We'll calculate it for statins, and we could do it for other drugs, too.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, brother.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys.
We out of here?
Let's do it.
All right.
Happy
Thanksgiving,
everybody.
Yeah, it's already over.
Yeah.
Well, no. If I get this posted tonight, we'll get it in a day. Anyway, we can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Obcharski, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, the Saratoga Skank, the Florida Floozy, Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, she who owns pigs and snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Watkins Double, a.k.a. Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Cardiff Electric, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, the inimitable Vincent Paulino, Eric Zane, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington, and of course our dear departed friend, Fez Watley, who will never be forgotten, and all of them whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. We'll see you next time. All right. Any questions from the from out there? Richard Kish is here. He is my buddy who enjoys King Crimson as much as I do.
Oh, goodness.
They have a new live album. It's called, I don't know, Music for Friends or something like that. And it's all the same shit that they play. I mean, I saw the concert. It's all the same stuff. But apparently this recording is primo. Most of their recordings are pretty decent. And the other thing about it is it's probably their last performance in the United States, maybe. And because Robert Fripp is no spring chicken, and neither is Tony Levin, and hell, I don't know how the hell old I'm having a senior moment.
Senior moment.
Anyway, the other guy is. And so, it's going to be very interesting. And I also heard that, like, Gavin Harrison is playing with his own band now. So I think they may be done. So I'm going to have to pick that one up. But anyway, let me see. Yeah. Onur says, please don't burn, slash, or choke yourself accidentally with that stupid dry bird. If you brine it, it will not be dry. Or what I discovered, because I have to work on Thanksgiving, I'm going to pressure cook a turkey breast.
Okay. I figured you'd sous vide it.
I've done that before. Sous vide. I've done the sous vide. It's hard to get one in a bath
that's
big
small.
Enough.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you put a turkey breast, if it'll fit in your pressure cooker, you have to put it up on a trivet, and that every one of those comes with it. And then you just put a little bit of chicken stock in there, enough to get the thing boiling so you get the pressure up. And it takes 35 minutes. I mean, there's a formula for it.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's juicy. If you want it to look more like a roasted turkey, you throw it under the broiler for a minute or two when you're done. And then you make gravy out of the stuff that's in there. It's amazing.
Sounds good.
Yep. No need to have a dry bird.
Nope.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Yeah, okay. Ornwer says we should leave that in the podcast. I'll edit it down. A father's most important duty is to make sure his kids are embarrassed forever. Tee-hee.
I love it.
Oh, look, Amanda's here.
Yeah, we got a big crew today.
Wow.
Really good crew.
Amanda Swan.
It's a good crew.
Now, she is one of my Moogfest friends, and she is, I don't want to say, but she is. She's awesome.
She's a friend, yes.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then there's, I see Amy's in there. I sound like Romper Room again. I see Amy. Mm-hmm. I see Amanda. I see Scott. Okay, you missed a question.
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me.
If you get HPV vaccine in your late 30s, and at some point in your 20s, you already got 3 of the 9 strains of the vaccine. Can you still spread? Yes, you can still spread those 3 strains to someone else. And if let's just say magically you were lucky enough to not be exposed to subtype 16 or some of the other naughty ones, I still think that the vaccine would be beneficial in preventing you from contracting and transmitting those. But yeah, that HPV vaccine doesn't keep you from getting genital warts. It keeps you from getting the ones that'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So you still got to wrap that rascal. We don't have a vaccine yet that allows us to just have unprotected sex with whoever we want or whomever we want.
No.
And Doug in Boston says, we demand Dr. Steve does the show in his favorite British accent. The crazy thing is, I've got all the Appalachian accents down. I can't do a British accent for shit.
Nope.
But I can play you some of my favorites.
Oh my God.
And I really do like the Essex accent. And then the Manchester accent, I like it a lot too. Because Y's become A's. So they'll say Keela instead of Keely.
They'll say what?
Keela.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And did you ever find that ICD-10 code for sucked into a jet engine?
There actually is one.
That's so crazy.
There really is one, yeah. And the sequela of one, which is even crazier.
Okay, now Talk Like a Hick says, and that's our friend Amy, with Jimmy on Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you.
Oh, getting laid after having a broken hip. Do I have to lay my husband after his double hip replacement next month? He thinks it's okay.
I said yes.
I'm going to say not in a million years. You don't have to do that. I wouldn't blow him or anything.
Well, see, I was thinking, well,
Yeah, it was Amanda.
Good blood flow to his hips, you know, helps him heal faster.
Amanda came with her friend John, and John has been on the show. Amanda's been on the show. I don't know if you met her. Amanda, answer.
I think so.
Did you meet Dr. Scott when you were here? Because I can't remember who was here. And we had Super Android 23 once, mm-hmm. and that was Daniel. And but that's my band. We just call any house band that's here that's doing electronic music Super Android 23. And John, who is Logan Field on Twitter, or was until he got banned because he got queued. He got QAnon infected.
Oh my God!
Yeah, don't. Well, that's all we need to say.
Yeah, it's enough
but
of that.
Yeah, he got. He started posting some things that apparently Twitter wasn't cool with, and he got banned, permanently banned from Twitter. But anyway, that's the first time I met Amanda, and so we've all kept in touch ever since then. We've got our little core group of Moogfest people, even though Moogfest no longer exists. No. Yes. All right. Well, listen, everybody. Thank you. Have a great holiday. We'll be back next week, and we'll keep doing these. We'll try to make these live streams better and better. I've got somebody helping me with the graphics, so it's not just we're on the top half, and then there's black space with white lettering on the bottom half. We'll try to make it a little bit more highfalutin for next time. All right?
Sounds good.
All right.
Everybody take care, and thanks for joining us.
Yep, thank you. Let me see.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.